Now, if you'll turn with me to Leviticus chapter 16, the most important and instructive of all the typical ceremonies of the Old Testament was the Day of Atonement. And the Day of Atonement foreshadowed in type the sin atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ for God's true Israel. You'll want to mark Hebrews as well, because we'll be referencing Hebrews back and forth between Hebrews and Leviticus. We're going to start reading here in Leviticus 16 and read the first two verses. And the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died. And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not. For I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Now, sinners find acceptance and forgiveness with God only in the way which God Himself commands and teaches that we come to Him. The word here begins, and the Lord spake unto Moses. In order for sinners to believe God and obey God and approach God in His way, the Lord must speak into the heart that He has made new. The Scripture says, they shall all be taught of God. All of God's children shall be taught of God through the Spirit in the heart that He's created and made new. That's how obedience is created, by God teaching, by God the Father teaching His children. Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, attempted to come to God in their own way. They came with strange fire, the Scripture says. They composed a compound of their own making and began to burn it, and they came in and tried to approach God with strange fire. And God killed them in an instant. They died in an instant. God teaches His children what He taught Moses right here. He said to Moses, the only way to come to a holy God, into His presence. This holiest of holies represents the presence of God. It represents where God resides. And He said, I will be there in that place over the mercy seat. The only way to come into God's presence is to come the way God says you must come. And the way that God says you must come is in Christ Jesus, His Son, who is the high priest of His people, who's made atonement for His people. Now, Aaron the high priest is told here that he can't bring any other man with him into this holiest of holies. He has to come alone, and he has to come once in the year, and he has to come with blood. This is how God appointed it. This is how God determined it. Before Adam sinned, he actually walked and talked in unbroken communion with God Almighty. But when he sinned, separation occurred. God is of too pure eyes to look upon sin. He can't have fellowship with a sinner. He's holy. You can't come in the presence of God as a sinner. And so all throughout the Scriptures, the Lord is teaching that this separation, this gulf that is fixed between God and His people, can only be bridged. There can only be oneness brought about. You can only be made at one with God. That's what atonement means. You can only be made one with God by the person and work of Christ the Lord. Now, what does that mean for you and me? What does that mean for us sitting right here today? That means that we're going to face a holy God one day, the holy God of heaven and earth. And the only way He's going to receive sinful men and women like you and me is in a suitable atonement that has been made. That's the only way. The only way. God's wrath must be propitiated. He's angry with the wicked every day. His wrath must be satisfied. His justice must be satisfied. And sin must be punished. God will by no means clear the guilty. Not at all. So faith, brethren, is trusting that Christ has already fully made atonement for me with God. It's trusting Him and the work He has accomplished to make me one with God. Now, today what we're going to look at, this is just too important to try to go through the whole chapter and cover everything. I just want to look today at Christ Jesus, the High Priest of God. And we see Him typified in Aaron. So we're going to look at this, and we may not even get through all of this today, but we'll come back to it at another time if we don't. But let's begin here with the first thing we see. Here is the first thing. The high priest was chosen by God. Verse 3, he says, "Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place." God determined who the high priest would be. He chose the high priest. Election is a word you need to learn. It's used throughout this Bible, and it's a word that you need to learn, and you need to understand what the doctrine of election is. Just like in every other doctrine, sin and the ruin of mankind being the only exception, every other doctrine, Christ receives the preeminence. It's through Christ or by Christ or in Christ. It's Christ receives the preeminence. And it's the same here. The Lord said in Isaiah 42:1, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, my chosen one, in whom my soul delighteth." And He's talking about Christ the Lord. He says, "I put my spirit upon Him. He shall bring forth judgment upon to the Gentiles. He won't cry. He won't lift up His voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall He not break. The smoking flax shall He not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till He hath set judgment in the earth. And the isles, the Gentiles, shall wait for His law, for His word." Now, turn to Hebrews 5:1, and I'm going to show you why this is so very, very, very important. Hebrews chapter 5. Aaron was chosen of God to represent a particular people. He was chosen to represent the children of Israel, just as Christ Jesus was chosen of God to represent God's elect, His spiritual Israel. Now, watch this. Hebrews 5:1. This is the New Testament commentary on what we're looking at right now. Now listen to this. "Every high priest taken from among men throughout the Old Testament, throughout the days of Moses, and throughout the whole that old covenant, every high priest was taken from among men, so was Christ. He was adorned for men in things pertaining to God, so was Christ. That He may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins." That's what Christ did. "Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that He Himself also is compassed with infirmity." Christ is touched with the feeling of our infirmity. He was a man chosen out of the fold, a high priest. "And by reason hereof He ought, as for the people, so also for Himself, to offer for sins." This was the case with men. But now here's what I want you to see, verse 4. Pay very close attention to this. "And no man, no priest, no high priest that was ever chosen but God, no man taketh this honor unto himself." He didn't decide one day he'd be a high priest. Uzzah tried to do that. King Uzziah tried to do that. He got proud and lifted up in his heart. He decided he'd just go in and bypass the priest. And while he was standing there angry and mad at the priest, telling him this was none of his business, leprosy came up and he died a leper, trying to come to God another way. "No man takes this honor to himself, but he that is called of God." God said to Moses, you tell Aaron he's my priest. Now what's the significance of that? Look at verse 5. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest. You mean the Lord Jesus Christ didn't even glorify himself? He didn't put himself in this high priestly office? No, he didn't. He sure didn't. But he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. God chose for Christ to be the high priest. What's that? How does that apply to me? What's that mean to me and you as sinners? Be turning to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. To the right there. Hold your place in Hebrews. We'll be back to it a little later. 1 Peter chapter 2. Now let me tell you, as our Lord, when He was on this earth, He said this. He said, if I honor myself, no man takes this honor to himself, but he that's called of God. He said, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. If I make myself to be something I'm not, my honor's nothing. He said, it's the Father that honoreth me. That's who honored me. That's who chose him to be the high priest. Now, why is that important for you to know? Look at 1 Peter 2, verse 9. Everybody that's chosen of God and called of God is a priest unto God. Not the high priest. There's one high priest. But his children are made priests unto God. Now, if Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, if he didn't take this honor on himself, then does that mean you and me are going to take this honor on ourselves and make ourselves priests unto God by something we've done? Or is it going to be by God's choosing and by God's calling? Look at 1 Peter 2, 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, God's priesthood, a holy nation, spiritual Israel, true Israel, a peculiar people. Watch this. That ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You see, I don't take the honor upon myself to make myself a child of God. God has to choose me. And God has to call me out of darkness into His light. And that honor goes to the first elect of God, the first chosen of God, His high priest, Christ Jesus, whom He called and said, this is my Son, my only begotten Son. Hear Him. He's mine elect whom I uphold. He's the one in whom my soul delighteth. And it's important to know because all the glory belongs to God. Salvation is of God's grace by God's choosing. He told Moses, I'll be merciful to whom I'll be merciful. And now, it's true. If I made this statement to you, if I said Christ died for all who shall believe, that's a true statement. Because all for whom He died shall believe. But that's a half-truth. That's a half-truth. I'll leave you thinking your decision, your act, your will, your coming, your doing made the difference. If I just say, Christ died for all that shall believe on Him, and now turn it over into your hands. But the truth is, God the Father chose Christ, and He chose a people and put them in Christ before the world began. God the Son came as the high priest of His people and suffered and died and rose again and made full atonement, full satisfaction, a fully accomplished redemption for that people. And the Spirit of God comes forth and He quickens whom He will. He calls whom He will irresistibly to Christ and makes you, teaches you in the heart who Christ is, what Christ has done, and you shall bow to Christ in that day. And that's how I can say, all for whom Christ died shall believe. Shall believe. But now you got the whole truth. Now you got the full statement of truth. And proud sinners need to know this. In no uncertain terms, that we're not coming to God. We're not taking this honor upon ourselves. That's not going to happen with God. And as long as the sinner imagines that, we won't give God the glory. We won't confess what we are. We won't confess that satisfaction's been made by Christ. We got to be brought to behold our nothingness, and we got to be brought to behold the glory of God in the face of Christ. Now, we're about to see something here about the humility of this first elect high priest. We're going to see something about his humility. And I could stand up here and tell you, walk humbly before the Lord. But if I haven't told you the full truth, that it's not you that takes this honor upon yourself, I beseech you, come to Christ. I beseech you, lay hold of Christ. I beseech you, turn from your sin and rebellion and believe on Christ. But at the same time, I teach you that God does the choosing, God does the drawing, God does the calling. If you're coming to Him, it's because He's doing the work in you. And by saying that, now I'm teaching you what true humility is. But if I didn't tell you all that, and I said, now walk humbly before the Lord, I'm promoting pride. I'm being prideful by not telling you the whole truth, and I'm promoting pride by not telling you the whole truth. Do you understand that? You understand that? All right, now look. Here's the second thing we see in Leviticus 16:4. The high priest was robed in garments of humility. Garments of humility. Still talking about Christ. Leviticus 16:4. He shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with the linen mitre shall he be attired. These are holy garments. Now Aaron had some high priestly apparel that if you saw him, you would just stand back and say, in amazement. It was adorned in royal blue and gold, and I mean ornate, this garment that he had when he was in front of the people. But on this day, on the Day of Atonement, when he came to make atonement before God, he took all those garments off and set them aside. And he put on these linen, plain linen garments. And that's all he wore when he went in to make atonement. There's no bells on. All that robe and that garment had the bells on it, the pomegranates and all the adornment. None of that. None of that on this day. Just linen garments. That's all. Listen to this scripture. Let me turn to Philippians 2. Philippians 2. Let me read a scripture to you while you're turning there. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, adorned in the very glory of God, He is God. Though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor. That through His poverty you might be made rich. He set aside the glory that's His from the beginning, and He came in His plain, humble garments of flesh and blood. Look at Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now this is the first chosen one of God. This is what, when you've not taken this honor to yourself, God's called you, this is the mind that will be in you. Now this is the mind that was in Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He's God. He's one with God. He's equal with God. But because God chose Him, called Him to be the high priest of His people, He made Himself of no reputation, took upon Him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Do you see that word there? Wherefore God also hath exalted Him. When Christ took upon Him the form of a servant, and He came in that humble linen garment of flesh and blood, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and laid down His life even unto death, even the death of the cross, you know what He was doing? He was exalting God the Father. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him. You want to serve God, it's not in making ourselves a reputation. It's not in taking to ourselves honor that belongs to God alone. It's not in trying to take the things of God and use those things to make ourselves different from everybody else and stand out from everybody else and seem like we're more pious and more holy than everybody else. And that's how most people use these words of God. And that's not what they're saying. They're saying true humility is submission. It's bowing to Him. And I'll tell you this, you might be thinking, how does this apply to me and my husband and my wife? And how does this apply to me and the problems I got in my workplace? How does this apply to me and problems I got with my children and all these things? The problem you got is sin. And the problem you got is authority. And this is the solution. This is the cure. This is the balm of Gilead right here. When you understand God's in authority, you understand every relationship He's ever ordained in this earth is to symbolize, to typify, to glorify the relationship between God in Christ and His people. Whether it's a pastor in the church, he's the shepherd of the sheep, and we're the sheep of His pasture. I learn how to lay down my life for you and pastor you and be merciful to you and to deal kindly and gently and when to say a word in season because I look at my master and I see how he deals with me and you. And we all learn how to submit in this place to one another by seeing how he came and submitted himself to God and trusted God and served God. If it's a husband and a wife, Christ is the husband of the church. I look at how Christ Jesus, the husband, laid down his life, gave himself for the bride, poured out his life's blood unto death for the bride. I look at this and I see how it is that I'm supposed to love that woman right there and how far short I fall of it so that I can't get proud and boastful and think I deserve anything because I fail in it miserably. And she sees as my bride, she sees, and I see as the bride of Christ, as a part of this church, I see how Christ, when He walked this earth as the faithful one, I see how He submitted Himself to the Father and trusted the Father and served His people. Christ gets the glory in all the relationships, the same with the master and the employee. He's the master, we're the employee. But He came as a servant one time. And we look at how He served. And Paul said, let this mind be in you. You see that all our relationships, the problem is we don't like authority. We don't want to submit to those we're supposed to submit to. And we don't want to serve those we're supposed to serve. And the chief one is God in Christ. God in Christ. So this is where we got to start if we're going to know how to what's going on in the rest of the world and what the problems are in everyday life. This is the crucial thing. The crucial thing. All right, here's the third thing, and this will be our last thing for today. The high priest had to be personally clean. He had to be personally, completely clean. Look at verse 4. At the end of Leviticus 16:4, it says, therefore shall he wash his flesh in water and so put on these garments. He had to be clean. Verse 6, it says, Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering which is for himself and make an atonement for himself and for his house. Look at verse 11. And Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering which is for himself and shall make an atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself. He had to be... this Aaron was a man, so Aaron was sinful. So Aaron had to make this offering for himself so that he would be ceremonially pure and clean when he came into God's presence. You there in Hebrews, turn to Hebrews 7, verse 26. Hebrews 7, verse 26. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmities, but the word of the oath which was since the law maketh the Son who's consecrated forevermore. Christ Jesus the Lord knew no sin. had no sin, was without sin, lived under the law of God, perfect without sin in thought, word, or deed, and He was Himself completely, totally holy to come into God's presence and make this sacrifice for His people. He was. And that's what we see here. All right, let's see. I'm going to go a little further. Here's the fourth thing. The high priest could not enter the presence of God without blood. He had to have blood. Now, we're going to look at this more in detail next time and just take a whole section on the sacrifice and the offerings. But look at verse 5. He shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel 2 kids of the goats for a sin offering and 1 ram for a burnt offering. Now, verse 7. And he shall take the 2 goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the 2 goats, 1 lot for the Lord. In other words, one goat would go to the Lord, and the other lot would be what's called a scapegoat. This is where this term scapegoat comes from. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell and offer him for a sin offering. That lamb's going to die. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. In other words, that goat they would come up to, and we'll see this next time, and he would put his hands on the head of that goat, and he would confess the sins of Israel upon that goat. And that goat was let go, and that goat would go into the wilderness and take those sins totally away, and they're gone into the wilderness. And the other goat, they took it, and it was a sin offering. It was an offering for the sin of the people, and it died. And its blood and the blood of the burnt offering was taken in and was sprinkled on the mercy seat, and it was sprinkled on the altar, and it was to purify the tabernacle. It was to purify the altar. It was to purify the people. It was to cleanse the people. It was to do the whole work of making an atonement for the people. And he couldn't come in there unless he had that blood. Hebrews 9. Look there with me. Christ Jesus is both our scapegoat, upon whom the sins of his people was laid, who carried them away, and he's our sin offering. He couldn't make his people one with God without shedding his own blood. The heart of substitution, the very doctrine of substitution, is a life for a life, the just for the unjust. He was made a curse for us, Scripture says, that he might free us from the curse. He was made what his people are, that he might free his people and make his people what he is. We were sin. He was made sin. He's righteous, and he makes his people righteous, accepted of God. Hebrews 9, verse 8. The Lord sent a word. Let me get there myself. Isaiah, chapter 9 is not going to work, is it? All right, Hebrews 9, verse 8. The Holy Ghost, let me start in verse 7. Into the second, the holiest of holies, went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and the errors of the people. Now the Holy Ghost, this signifying, this was a type, this was a shadow, signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. The holiest of all is God's presence. The way into the holiest of all is Christ. And it wasn't made known yet. Christ hadn't come forth yet while as yet Moses was being instructed back there in the days of the tabernacle. But look at verse 9. Which was a figure. It was a type. It was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. It stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. But Christ, here we go, but Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come. He is that high priest of which those good things to come foreshadowed. Of good things to come. By a greater and more perfect tabernacle. not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. It's in the heavens. It's eternal in the heavens. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. He accomplished the work. He did the work. He accomplished it. Now, brethren, that's how you come to Him. That's who you come in. You come in Christ, the high priest. If you're going to come before God, you lay hold of Him, the high priest of God. We're going to close there, and then we'll pick up there next time.